We're going on air in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Good morning and Happy New Year. Welcome to the January 2nd meeting of the Design Review Board. I'm now going to turn it over to Debbie to help lead our meeting. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the meeting of the Design Review Board. Just a couple quick announcements before we get started. The Design Review Board will have 4 members present today. Unfortunately, we do have some absences. So any application that includes a variance from the land development regulations will not be able to be acted upon today. With that, I will turn it over to Ferocia from the City Attorney's Office, who will read the notice regarding lobbyist registration and swear in any members of the public wishing to testify today. Thank you.
Hello, good morning, everyone, and Happy New Year. Today's meeting of the Design Review Board has been scheduled in a hybrid format, and the applicant, staff, and members of the public appearing either in person or virtually via the Zoom platform webinar. In order to participate in today's meeting, those wishing to participate via the Zoom platform webinar may dial 888-475-4499 and enter the webinar ID, which is 822-7394-1924, or log in into the Zoom app and enter the webinar ID, which again is 822-7394-1924. Any individual wishing to speak on an item must click the raise hand icon if they are using the individual Zoom app, or dial *9 if they are participating by phone. Now, before I swear in those that are testifying, I'm going to read into the record the city's notice regarding lobbyist registration. If you are appearing on behalf of a business, a corporation, or another person, you must register as a lobbyist with the city clerk's office. If you haven't registered yet, you should register before you speak to the board. That includes architects, attorneys, or employees representing an applicant or an objector. You do not have to register as a lobbyist in 3 circumstances. 1, if you are speaking only on behalf of yourself and not any other party. 2, if you are testifying as an expert witness providing only scientific, technical, or other specialized information or testimony in this public meeting. 3, if you are appearing as a representative of a neighborhood association without any compensation or reimbursement for your appearance to express support or opposition to any item. That said, expert witnesses and representatives of neighborhood associations shall, prior to appearing, disclose in writing to the city clerk their name, address, and the principal on whose behalf they are communicating. Those rules apply whether you are appearing in favor of or against an item, or encouraging or arguing against its passage, defeat, modification, or continuance. Now, if you're physically present, please stand and raise your right hand. And virtual speakers will need to be sworn in one by one at the time of the presentation. But this is for those who are physically present. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony that you will be giving today in this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? All right, thank you. We may proceed.
Okay, thank you, Ferocia. We do have several requests for continuances, I believe, this morning. Oh, sorry. Thank you, Giselle. Before we get started on the continuances, we have the approval of the December 11th minutes. Does anyone have any corrections to make or a motion to approve the December 11th minutes?
I move to approve the minutes.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you. Now moving on to the continuances, the first application is DRB 23-0968. This is the citywide digital information kiosks. An application has been filed requesting DRB approval for these kiosks in various locations. Staff has been working with the applicant as well as applicable city departments, and they do need a little more time to reach out to the community and refine the design of these kiosks. So staff has no objection to this request. I am available for any questions, if you have any. If not, we can open it up to the public.
Is there any? I don't see anybody, members of the public, wishing to
on
speak.
On Zoom, I think we have someone.
Oh, great.
And again, this is comment on the request for continuance. I see Deborah Leibowitz. She just lowered her hand, so I see no one else.
I'd like to close the public portion, and does anybody have a motion to continue?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
And the motion is to continue to the March meeting. Giselle, what's the date of the March meeting?
March 5th, 2024.
March 5th, 2024 is the motion. Is that accurate? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. We've continued that application. So I was made aware that DRB 230934 may be requesting a continuance. Is anyone here or on Zoom to speak to that application? Monica Enten. Good morning, Monica. Staff has no objection to your request for continuance. I'm assuming you would like to go to the February meeting. Good morning, Monica.
Good morning, Debbie. Happy New Year, everyone. Yes.
Okay, so
can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, the February hearing would be great. Thank you, Debbie.
Okay, staff has no objection to this request. I believe they did review staff's recommendation and want a little bit more time to hopefully address some of our concerns.
I make a motion to continue.
Second.
To the February meeting.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, that application has been continued. Are there any additional requests for continuances by anyone in the audience? Okay, seeing none. We can move on to the first application, which is DRB 230397. This is 10 Venetian Way. An application has been filed requesting a design review approval for modifications to the landscape plans and fencing for the property. This is really specific to the area where the Baywalk is. This particular property did have a design review approval for landscaping and fencing in 2007. They are now back requesting some modifications to that plan. This is somewhat of a unique condition, although not completely unique to Venetian Way, where the Baywalk, which is open to the public between 6 a.m. and 9 p.m., is actually on private property. There are several other properties near this project that are also on private property. So part of the request is for modifications to the fencing as well as some landscape modifications. This would be consistent with other properties that have the public access Baywalk on private property. So staff is generally supportive of the application. We are requesting that the applicant introduce signage that is consistent with the other properties, making it very clear that this is for public access. We do not have an objection to the security gate, as when the Baywalk is closed to the public, their property can be secured and they can address their on-site security issues. So our recommended conditions are outlined in the draft order, and I am here to answer any questions. I believe the applicant, Graham, I don't know if you emailed the board members. The applicant did email staff over the weekend with two recommended modifications. Staff has reviewed those recommended modifications to the conditions, and we remain supportive of the staff drafted conditions and are not recommending that the board adopt the modifications to the conditions that the applicant has proposed, but I'm also available to answer any questions about that if you have.
I think this question may be more for the city attorney's office. If this is private property, why is it the city that is requesting this private property owners to provide public access, and why do they have to provide public access? I'm all for the public access. I would like to walk the Baywalk, but this is private property, so why does public access have to be granted?
Is that, should we talk about this during the discussion?
I don't know. Whenever.
Is there a certain...
This has, I mean, I think I can just to the history, this was actually one of the first pieces of the Baywalk that was constructed. And there is an agreement with a private property owner many years ago that was allowed for the public access. It's similar to what we've done with other private property owners. Slowly we've negotiated and have obtained public access agreements.
Okay.
Morning, everyone. Graham Penn, Burke Howard, Del Fernandez, Larkin Tappanus, 200 South Biscayne Boulevard. Before I start, I just want to make it, this is for the rest of the agenda. I just want to make it, ask the question, have all the items that require five votes been continued automatically to February? Because we have the other, I just want to make that clear because Mr. Amster from my office is texting me to make sure that's the case.
Oh, we did not read that into the record. I did not see Mr. Amster pop up. I do see him on Zoom. We can do that after this.
Sure. I apologize for interrupting my hearing with someone else's business. But the all right, let me, PJ, I'm sorry. I'll give him a second. I'll do the quick intros. Again, Graham Penn, here representing the Grand Venetian Condominium Association. This morning I'm joined by Tom Wilson, who's the president of the association, as well as Krista Dwyer-Hammond, who's board member. And Christina Quiros is here with us. She'll be back in a minute from the management company. As Debbie indicated, this application involves landscaping and security changes to this property, including some very important changes to the Baywalk portion of the land. And I'm going to... I'm waiting for Mr. PJ here because you're so excited to see my slides. I know everyone is. Come on. Also keep displaying it on the second display. Oh, there we are. We're up there. We were up there. All right, perfect. We moving? My Mac-ing is not working. We have to full screen it? Or is that all the way at the end already? You just feel the excitement in the room, PJ. Everyone's waiting for these slides. The pressure's on, right? It's like in a Mission Impossible movie. This is, you got 30 seconds to hack the computer or it's going to blow up. There we are.
Sorry.
All right, hold on. Now I got to go back to the beginning. Okay, beautiful. We're in business. Just to orient everyone, this is Belle Isle, and you can see our property is on the south side of the causeway on the far eastern side. And Belle Isle is, of course, mostly developed with condominiums and, of course, the Standard Hotel as well. To our north across the causeway is the new Bella Isla development. Speaking of Bella Isla, they are the only other property on Belle Isle, along with us, that has a baywalk. Their baywalk, of course, is brand new. Ours has been there since the building was built. You can see from that photograph, you can see the image of our baywalk, which terminates at the southern end of our property. So it really is a dead end condition, and that has caused some of the issues that have brought about this application. Just so you can see, this is the entrance to Bella Isla with their sign and their fence. This is our Baywalk current status. It's again built at the time of the building was built, and the path goes along the water and dead ends at the southern end of our property. It also runs along mostly on the southern end of our land, our parking structure, which again is part of the security concerns that we've run into. Here's another view looking south. That building in front of us, the structure there, is that's when the garage starts. And this is a view north looking at Bella Isla from our Baywalk. That podocarpus there on the right is part of what will be removed in this application to open up the views. So as Debbie indicated, we were last before this board back in 2007. That application also involved landscaping. At that point, the building had installed hedges close to the road. So there was a new landscape plan that was approved to remove a lot of that hedging. At the same time, the board approved the use of fencing and hedges as a combination to address existing security concerns at that point. And this application is bringing forth additional security changes. There are three main elements to this. Actually, two. We're removing a lot of the taller landscaping, and we're providing for securing the Baywalk area with a fence and a gate. And, you know, we don't take this lightly. It has been an issue, especially since the pandemic, of maintaining security in that area of the property. It has become, because it's open, has become basically a magnet for vagrancy. And we have engaged in discussions with the police to ensure that we can secure it properly. And part of those discussions have been, obviously, get a gate installed and get your signage in place so they can enforce that signage. And the numbers up there that's Belle Island criminal or activity that we've seen in the last 2 years. You can see, again, it's not crime-free. So this is that problem area, which, as I noted to you before, which is against the garage. Because it's hidden there, it encourages folks that are up to nefarious things to come back there and just hang out. So we're trying to install the gate for security purposes, and the other police recommendation, as you'll see reflected in our landscape plan, are make septed-related changes, which include reducing high hedges that could be used to hide in, et cetera. This is the overall landscape plan in the front. I'm going to not spend a lot of time on this because it's kind of hard to see, but we're focusing, as Debbie indicated, on the front of the property, especially adjacent to the Baywalk. So I'm going to take you through the changes, which, again, are mostly removal and replacement with more appropriate species. First, this podocarpus hedge, which is on the west side of our main entryway, that which is like an inverted L, we're removing that completely as part of this application, which will open up the view there and avoid hiding spaces. Around the fire equipment is currently is a clusia hedge. We're replacing that with Green Island ficus, which again can be kept at a lower height. And there are limits in our order that will ensure that that gets limited in height, so it can't become a giant hedge. Behind the fire equipment, you can see my two arrows there. We've got a clusia hedge again and more podocarpus back there. And they will be replaced in that area with a combination of Green Island ficus and cocoa plum. Again, stuff that can be managed at a lower height. And, of course, that is exactly the area that we're proposing to put our gate and our fence. The podocarpus here, which is adjacent to the bay, we're proposing to remove as well. That ligustrum tree you see there is we're proposing to retain, and that is one of the points of conflict we have with the administration, and we'll go through that in a second. This is a view of the podocarpus behind that tree that will be removed as part of this application. And as I noted before, we're proposing staff is recommending removal of this tree. We think this tree has value in more than one way. It's a great buffer, especially for noise. So we want to limit up to open it up, but retain it in its current location. So as Ms. Tackett indicated, we have two conditions that are at issue. I'll go through them briefly. First is the signage. As I noted before, part of the discussions we've had with the police department have been, you need to make it clear to people that are in this area that this is private property. It is not public property. And access can be limited, and people can be removed, and activities can be limited. So this is the current condition, staff's condition, which basically says that our bay sign or signage that we propose has to be revised to just have the simple language that says public access daily from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. only. We think that that doesn't go far enough in making it clear to people exactly what they can and cannot do. So what we proposed is to add additional language to the sign, which would be include the top layer and then add in additional language. I think it's easier to see it on this version. So this is what we would propose the sign to basically look like. Course, in more artistic, we can make the public access portion large, so it's clear that this is publicly accessible property. I don't think this has been 10 minutes. I can't believe that. But we also want to make it clear that it's private property, which will allow the police to enforce the removal of trespassing. We also want to make it clear that there will be video surveillance because we don't want people thinking they can go back there and do nefarious things and get away with it. We want to make it clear that you cannot access boats, which people have done off of our seawall. So no fishing or access to boats. We want to make that clear. And we, of course, want to make it clear that you've got to curb your pets and pick up after your dog. So that is our proposed revised language on that front. So we want to be able to make it clear that we can have that language there. Now, I understand that, you know, my discussions with staff is that staff has no opposition generally to that language appearing, but they want it on a separate sign. We don't necessarily oppose that as long as that separate sign can be located in a very visible area, as in on the fence along with this sign. So we can have two signs here as long as I can have them of equal importance. So this is clear to people, and then the police can be confident they can enforce the removal. If we look across the street, this is Bella Isla's installed. And I can tell you our sign is a significant improvement over what exists across the street. I'm not going to go into too much detail there, but you can see, again, that sign isn't exactly friendly. So I think our proposal is a meets the goals of ensuring that this is a publicly accessible area during those hours, but also will allow us to enforce and the police to enforce the overall limits. Back to the tree. The tree, the current staff condition is to remove that tree, or actually to relocate that tree. We think there's a couple problems with that. I don't think that this tree is going to really be successfully relocated given how it's grown. And we think it's an important and attractive addition to that area. We don't think it is a block on the view corridor. We think a little bit additional limbing it up. It will be open. You can see it's multi-trunked as it is. So the real issue with visibility through that area is the podocarpus, which you can see our arrow is pointing to. So we think that once that's removed, that area will be open. You can see us right through it. We just think that tree really should be retained where it is. So that is what our proposed revised condition would be. Which is basically say that tree needs to be limbed up to enhance views and removing the removal or relocation portion. So this is the conclusion. And I know that folks in the building are going to want to speak in favor of this as well. So we would ask for your approval of this application this morning with our revised conditions. We're here for any comments or questions you may have. And I know I'd like to reserve time for at least Mr. Wilson to speak from the building.
Thank you very much. Are there any members of the public wishing to speak? Oh, and Graham, to be clear, too, this presentation that you gave us, it's not available online. It wasn't something that I saw.
It is. It should be now. I mean, we and as I'm sure you all know, we received the staff recommendation on Friday before the weekend. So it was difficult for us. We didn't know what the conditions were until that got received. So I couldn't finalize that presentation.
Okay.
So that's the problem. We're all suffering from, you know, the holidayitis, and that's why it was difficult.
Thank you.
I Thank you. I'm Tom Wilson, the president of the association, and I'll be really quick. First of all, we have wonderful police officers in our neighborhood, and they have done an amazing job of helping secure the building. But I'll never forget one time, a couple of maybe 18 months ago or so, we had some vagrants or whatever camping out, possibly with drugs and not, blocking the exit door to the, you know, literally blocking the exit door so we couldn't get in. And one of the officers came in and he said, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning, he said, look, there's nothing we can do. This is public property. And we said, well, no, it isn't. I mean, there is access, but it's restricted. And he said, well, get a gate and put a sign up that says no trespassing. It was that, you know, that clarity, that moment of clarity. And then we also had, as Graham indicated, a rogue kind of charter operation bringing their boats. And one funny aspect of that is people would walk into the Grand Venetian and say, where's the coffee? Well, the Coast Guard, again, wonderful guys, they came and they've had us put signage on that seawall. So it doesn't seem like that is very vulnerable, but that's a very vulnerable area there for people. For whatever. And so we're trying to do that. We have kids within their little strollers. We have older residents who walk their dogs there. And it's just an issue of that. And finally, if I could be wearing a T-shirt that said Save the Ligustrum, we think it's emblematic of the quality of the landscape, the aesthetics of the island. And it does not block any water views. You can see right through it, as you could see in that picture. So Save the Ligustrum. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other members wishing to speak? Please come forward.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. My name is Krista Dwyer Hammond. I am a resident of Grand Venetian. I've been a resident of Miami Beach for 30 years. I'm also a board member. I'm the vice president. I wish the Ligustrum, we're still on the screen, but I'll explain. I live in an 04 line. I pay $25,000 a year in taxes and have been for a very long time. And I feel that the Ligustrum acts as a buffer for noise and wind, especially on the 04 line. The wind gets very strong coming around. I'm on a lower floor, and especially the noise with the construction really is, and it's going to get worse over time. So my question and offer to you is, please do not make us move a 15-year-old Ligustrum tree that I know if we replant, it will probably die. So thank you for your consideration.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good morning, Christina Quiros, manager of the Grand Venetian. I'm here to speak on behalf of our residents who wanted to address you all and couldn't be present. This area has become of great concern ever since the pandemic. A lot of folks looking for green space found our unique little area there and started kind of camping out, picnicking. That was all innocuous enough, but then we started having a lot of drug users, homeless, taking over the area. As Tom mentioned, boats came in and started listing this as their public docking location, and we have no way to enforce with the police because this is not listed anywhere as a private property. So we ask that you all please consider approving our application. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anybody else? Is anybody online?
On Zoom, we do have several members of the public. The first speaker is Deborah Leibowitz. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning. Thanks so much.
Okay, Deborah, you're going to need to be sworn in.
Sure. Yeah.
Hello, Deborah. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony that you will be giving in this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Please proceed.
I am a resident at Costa Brava, 11 Islands, and I'm the former president of the building, and I've lived on Venetian Causeway for 35 years. And I recall the initial discussions prior to this building being approved. And I hear what they're saying, but I find it really uncomfortable because no one's talking about the fact that this building would have never been built had they not provided the public access way. So it's interesting to me that all these years later, they're coming back and asking to change it. I personally walk there often, almost daily, and I've never seen a problem. I hear what they're saying, but the facts that were shown were not facts regarding just that condominium. They were facts about Belle Isle. There's plenty of other issues on Belle Isle with the park and other properties. I find it uncomfortable that this would not exist without this public access. So it's easy to say that they're going to limit it and take it away. There used to be a bench there for years where residents and non-residents would sit peacefully and look out at the water, and the bench disappeared. And my understanding as to why it disappeared is because the building didn't want anyone sitting there, and that's during regular hours. So it's one thing to say, okay, we want to protect our safety. I'm all for everyone's safety on the island. I'm very involved in the island. But I find that this goes over and above towards the condos side versus the public. And I don't think that it's fair. I think it's making it non-inviting to members of the public who should and could be invited, who are law-abiding citizens like myself, who have the right to walk there and sit there. That's my opinion. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Christina Miller. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning. Happy New Year.
We're going to swear you in. I apologize for the interruption.
Yes.
Yeah. Hi, good morning, Christina. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony that you will be giving in this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right. Thank you. Please proceed.
So I am a neighbor. I'm speaking on behalf of myself. I live immediately south of the property being discussed right now. And like the last speaker, I love actually the green space that this building provides, and I use it regularly. I also love the ligurstrum tree. So to the extent that any trimming even could be minimal to that tree, I would agree with all of the people who have spoken on that tree's behalf. Recently, the Bella Isla gate was added, and that's another, you know, fantastic green space to the north of the Venetian Causeway. That gate is marked for being open sunrise to sunset, but I don't know if it's a management issue, but it's often doesn't unlock when you try it. So I just want to put that in there, that sometimes things that are supposed to remain with public access don't remain as public as intended, unless the management of them is carefully overseen. I do appreciate this green space and the ligurstrum. I do have a concern about the location and the landscape plan of where the new gate is proposed to go. On the north side, it's kind of an extension of the building, the gate is running to the water. And here the gate kind of moves way forward and creates, I think, something that wouldn't be acceptable by SIPTET standards either, which is like a very constricted triangular condition. And I would suggest that the location of the gate be revisited. The way that it's designed right now would make me uncomfortable to even go visit that triangular, which is clearly public portion of the bridge. So I would like an opportunity to, again, because of I liked the term holidayitis, it was there wasn't a lot of time to respond via email, et cetera, but I would like an opportunity to maybe mark up the plan of where that gate might go that would be more comfortable from the public point of view. And it's actually where a lot of the Kaluja and Podocarpus, right there behind the ligurstrum tree, like that seems like a very logical place for the gate to go. But right now the landscape plan has it kind of swooping forward. And I don't know that that lends any additional security to the building. And I think it would actually create a less comfortable condition north of the gate. So I'm in full support of, retaining the Ligurstrom, and I'm okay, I guess, with the gate going in if it's open when it says it will be open, because I do enjoy that space, and I see over time things that are agreed to be public becoming privatized just in my general life. So I hope that that space does remain accessible to the neighborhood because it is a wonderful, wonderful space. But I'm concerned about the location of the gate. So I would, if staff could look at that again, or if the board could look at it again, I really think it should be aligned or a continuation of the either the long line of Royal Palms or where the Podocarpus is. But I don't think it should be moving north from the line of Palms and Podocarpus. Sorry, I'm stumbling over the Latin. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Our next speaker is Nordy Cohen. Good morning, Nordy. You need to be sworn in.
Good morning, Nordy. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony that you will be giving in this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Nordy, you're on mute. If you could unmute yourself.
Yes, I do.
Thank
All
you.
Right. Thank you. Please proceed.
Yes, I do. Yes, my comment is I'm a 19-year owner of Grand Venetian, and we go out there at night sometimes to take our dogs out, but we don't get to bed till midnight, and we're able to go outside. But I would like to ask Deborah or any of these other people that are contesting to think about how they would like to go outside the door not knowing what is out there at midnight. That is really not good for my wife or my daughter-in-law. We would really like the board to consider that. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Our next speaker is Michael Grouse. Michael, if you could unmute yourself and be sworn in by the city attorney's office.
Okay. Hello, good morning, Michael. Do you swear?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony that you will be giving in this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right. Thank you. Please proceed.
Good morning and Happy New Year. I'd like to thank the board for the time that they're going to commit over the coming year to this important service. My name is Michael Grouse. I live at 16 Island Avenue, which is one building away from the Grand Venetian. I first became aware of this concern when I was walking along the property, which I do many times a day, and there was a big new sign that said private property, residents only. And I was shocked by that because I do like to walk down there. And so I contacted the city, and in reviewing historical documents, found out that they were not in compliance with their original DRB order, which said that they had to have a sign, much like is being proposed now, that said that the public was welcome during the daylight hours. And so they took that sign down, and now they're coming full circle to doing things the proper way, which I'm glad to see. I don't actually have any issue with them putting a security fence up like Bella Isla has. I think they have valid concerns. But I do think they need to work with the city and be in compliance with all the DRB orders. And I want to make sure that the city staff vets that carefully, because in looking at some of the historical documents, there was at one time a request or a requirement the DRB had for 6 mahogany trees 14 foot tall to line the sidewalk on the north side. And those are obviously not there. There was an order given to consider the landscape palette, a variety of plants, large plantings on the north and west side. And again, I really don't see any of that. All I see is monochromatic green hedges that are probably over 6 foot tall, which is not allowed. And I think it's very unfriendly. And again, since council brought up Bella Isla's example, they have lovely plantings, very interesting, different colors, blooming plants, much more interesting. So I think that the DRB should take this opportunity to make sure that the Grand Venetian is in compliance with the requirements of their previous orders, and even if they're able to impose some new orders so that we can see some color, some interest, and some inviting to the public. as they walk along the sidewalk there. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, everyone from the public has spoken. However, I do see Deborah Leibowitz with her hand back up. It would be up to the board if they want to take additional comment from her. She has already spoken.
I think that typically we don't do that. But please know that every member of the public that has appeared in the chambers as well as via Zoom, your comments are taken very seriously by the members of the board and will be addressed. Thank you. And then, Graham, you had reserved
my rebuttal.
Yeah, we do have a number of other items on this agenda, so I'm just going to request that you make it brief. Thank
you. 10 to 15 minutes of rebuttal? I don't think that's going to be necessary. Sure. If we could bring up my slides again briefly. Yes. So I just wanted to orient everyone to where the gate is proposed. It is along the existing line of those shrubs. So basically it's where we think it's the most appropriate point to start the Baywalk connection, not further back.
Can you point it out, Graham? Because it's hard for us to understand exactly where it is.
It's where the podocarpus are.
You see that? Yeah.
That's the existing line of the podocarpus that we're dealing with.
Okay.
So to respond to some of the comments, obviously we are committed to, and this order enforces significantly more in more elaborate detail, the public access to this area. There are multiple new conditions that are imposed upon us through this order that make it clearer than the previous orders as to the hours of access. It's a very elaborate set of conditions that are now being added to the property. So we're committed to retaining public access. As to Ms. Leibowitz's question about the bench, we were finding vagrants sleeping on the bench. That's why it was removed. There is no attempt in this application to remove public access from this area. We're just trying to regulate it in a way that will work best for us and the public. That's basically it. Just to answer Mr. Grouse's comments. Staff has concluded that this landscape plan that's before you today is consistent with the orders applied to this property. And as I bored you with already, a significant amount of what we're doing is removing large hedges and replacing them with lower plantings, which will be now new species, varied species that aren't there now. Green Island ficus isn't on there now. Cocoa plum isn't on there now. So we're adding variety through this change. So again, we would ask for your approval with our proposed revisions to the conditions.
Thank you very much. I'm now going to close the public portion of the discussion and open it up to the board. Scott, would you like to start?
Hi, thank you guys for your presentation. And we certainly, the whole board got a lot of emails from people in the building. Being a resident on the island for almost 20 years, I know the issues that you've had. And so I'm supportive of the gate. I have a few questions. I want to make sure none of the big trees against the parking garage are being removed, correct? The tall trees? Okay. So let me just go through the list because we've gone through all this. I don't want to drag it on. Two signs, I think, is ridiculous. We have such sign pollution on the Venetian Causeway, and so I'm supportive of the one sign with the language that the applicant asks. I think it's also ridiculous to remove that tree and try to replant it. The one thing I will say, though, the last guy, Michael, that called, I am shocked that you guys didn't address any of that bare lawn that's been there for years. I think I remember at one point there were oak trees planted there, and they disappeared. I don't remember. It was years ago, 15 years ago maybe. But that is the one strip of sidewalk in the whole neighborhood that has absolutely no shade from the bridge to the end of your property. The city took away the trees in the swale because of a pipe, because of a gas pipe or something. And so I would be willing to approve everything, but I really think you guys need to take a look and address that bare grass that's just there. It really is just unfinished, and I can't believe that with what the city requires that they let you get away with that for all these years, because it's a lost opportunity. It's just plain grass. There's not one tree in that whole area. So I would really ask you to look into that and get some shade trees along the sidewalk. I don't know why you guys have never addressed that, but I think that would make it much more inviting and probably keep people from crossing across that lawn to have some things. So I also, I don't love the idea of removing the shrubs. I hate removing things and not adding things. So I'm a big supporter of adding more plants, taking away less, and I'm fine with the gate. And like, again, please, one sign, because you go down the causeway and you see pedestrian crossing ahead, pedestrian crossing here, bike lane here. It's like insane the amount of signs. So to have them put two signs is, I think that's just a total waste. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Mara?
Yes, I'll just touch briefly on some of the points. I am in favor of keeping the ligustrum. I did pass by there, and I find that the green canopy of the ligustrum is above the height of vehicles going by as well as a person going by. If thinning is required, then so be it. But I can understand that that is a buffer for noise from the Venetian Causeway as well as maybe other potential construction going on and even the winds. I don't think two signs are necessary. There must have been a reason for the second sign that the planning department is requesting. Deborah, do you have any idea why?
So the idea was, we don't have an objection to the language that Graham is requesting about it being private property and alerting people to that, including our police department. We wanted to be cautious for members of the public by putting that on the same sign as the hours of operation to avoid confusion for members of the public so that they would not think that it was restricted and it was not open to the public. We thought there may be some confusion putting that on one sign, but obviously we respect the opinions of the board. I do agree that there is sign pollution in the city of Miami Beach. Wholeheartedly agree with that. So it's up to you. We were just trying to avoid confusion and make it very clear that this is a public access area between those hours.
I am in favor of the sign that they are proposing. It talks about language concerning the care of your pet, which is something that we have citywide. We also have private properties having video cameras to see what's going on in their private property. Access by boats has been a problem, including on the Julia Tuttle, where these boat companies have been docking, and that is not acceptable. So I can see them having a problem with that. I am in favor of just one sign. All parks, by the way, are open sunrise to sunset, and that's basically the hours that they are proposing, and I think the sign is explicit that it is public access during certain hours. I believe that based on the order and the report from staff, the existing landscaping plan that is there is in compliance with the original order that was approved. I hear what you're saying about landscaping. Is that the swale area or is it on private property?
It's private property. Again, I go back to, I don't know how the city ever allowed it because they require a certain amount of trees and that they really have a dearth of big trees in the front of that property. So all the other properties in the neighborhood have big shade trees along the sidewalk. There used to be swale trees and the city had to remove them because of a gas line, from what I understand. So there's zero shade over there. Mm-hmm. And that's why I propose that we add that.
I mean, I don't have an issue with that. I think that if an order was prepared and they are in compliance with it, that's one thing. And I would leave it up to the condominium association to decide if they want to add additional trees. I think he brings up an important point about shade. But certainly you obviously meet the revised order or the order that was approved. That's all. I am in favor of the revisions proposed by the Condominium Association.
Thank you very much. I think Scott does make a very good point that that area right there is very open, and I can't help but think that there are, you know, in addition to a gate and a fence, there are also friendlier ways to maybe make it not look so inviting. You know, even driving past, I've often wanted to walk over there, and that having trees or having something would be a great solution that would have multiple public and private benefits. So that's definitely something that I would really encourage you. And you're right, I'm surprised that they haven't created a barrier there. I don't know if it's something, you know, with the residents or whatever. I also would prefer one sign over two. I would like it, you know, the Bella Isla sign, it is really nicely designed. It's a very pretty sign. And the one that you're presenting is very basic. It would be really nice if you could, you know, you have this very high-end condo. It would be great if you could put a pretty sign. I wonder if one of my concerns is I don't quite know what we're getting here in terms of what the gate and the fence will look like. And was that something that you did include? Because usually we do need to see these things. Was that something that is in your application?
There's an image in the set. Let me see if I can get there. And there are conditions that require it to be metal picket in the order. So we're agreeing to those. Let me get to the. Does this one have it? This one doesn't have the set in it. God darn it! Sorry, I don't have those plans in front of me. But it is a metal picket, and there are conditions in there as to the height, et cetera. So that's. We had no objections to it, and we'd actually already filed
a
building
permit. So what color, I don't know what a metal picket is.
Hi. At the center of the property in 2007, there was a gray slated about this tall area with a gate in the middle. This is matching to that. We actually had a permit approved by six different departments in the city of Miami. And then it was rescinded once somebody discovered this DRB order that we were unaware of. So it does match the existing gate that is already approved on the property. Gray slated about this tall across.
So it's not good because the picture that you showed us of the Bella Isla fence, it was this giant black fence. It's
the
not
one across
that.
The street is very different from what we're looking at installing. Ours is coherent with what is already existing on property.
And it's going to curve around the entire the sort of walkway.
It's a straight line from I don't know if the photos are here. Graham, I don't know how to use your. So if you see the hedge line behind that FDC sign there, it continues right along that hedge line over to the water. So the podocarpus behind the ligustrum would be removed and the fence would go in that location.
And so the fence isn't going to continue onto the building. It's going to be blocked by the hedge. The hedges are going to be used as
a continuance
fencing.
Of the fence, correct.
Okay, that was, and you said it's going to be silver, gray?
It's a gray tone. I wish it showed in this photo. It's a silver gray color that matches what is exactly on the, west of where this is showing in this photo.
And you said it's going to be 4 feet tall?
I wish I measured, but yeah. I mean, it's about here to me. So I guess about 4 feet tall.
Okay. Just, you know, because like I said, usually that's something that, you know, the board and staff requires. So, you know, we know what we're getting here.
That's not really tall enough, by the way. The gates are, I think, like 5 or 6 feet tall in other places.
Yeah. Madam Chair, we have a condition to allow the fence up to 5 feet.
Yeah. And Bella Isla is six. I can tell you it's 6 feet tall.
And I have one more thing that we didn't address, and I didn't want to leave Debbie Leibowitz out because her concerns are valid. And all through the city, I think everybody knows the drill of these bay walks that are accessible during daytime. But what does the city have in place as far as enforcing keeping the gates unlocked when they're supposed to be unlocked? And what is the mechanism that you guys plan to use to lock and unlock that gate?
I had the same concerns. The operational, I live by a park that was formerly open and they put a gate. And we were told, the neighbors were told, that the gate would be unlocked at certain times, and oftentimes it's not.
Okay, understood. I first drove up and down the entirety of the Miami Beach Venetian, and we are the singular property that has open access to this area. That aside, because we understand that this is an existing order, in order to leave the gate locked at the correct times, we're enabling a FOB system, so an access control that is time controlled through a computer. It will have no involvement of, you know, people error to it, and it should be available within the times listed.
And to, sorry to add to that, the condition 2F of the order require permits such operable gate shall include an automatic timing device, as Christina said, in order to ensure that the public baywalk is open. So there will be, it will be required to be a computerized or automatic system.
And to clarify, that will be the 6 a.m. to 9 p.m., not necessarily sunrise to sunset.
That's what's in the order.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I had those concerns too, so I'm glad that there is an operational plan to address them. Sam, do you have any other comments? Yeah, I feel like I'm, you know, I also like the tree. I don't know if anybody is ready to make a motion.
I'll make a motion. I'd like to motion to approve DRB 23-0937 with the following conditions. We can use one sign as per the proposal of the applicant. I would say do not remove the lingustrum tree. I would like to say make sure the gate's unlocked properly. And the landscaping, I'll go back to, I don't know that the original landscape plans are followed. I don't know where they are. I don't know who has access to them. But rather than going to that, I would say I would have the applicant work with staff to put shade trees along the perimeter of the green space from the baywalk to the driveway, so that you have some green space there. I mean, some shade trees there.
You know, I actually also, I'm sorry, I had a question about the landscaping. Our landscape architect isn't here, but maybe staff can address this. I was under the impression that ficus are not as hardy or not the preferred choice over Calusia.
So there's different types of ficus. Okay. The Green Island ficus, which is what the applicant is proposing, is very hardy. It also does not grow 15 feet tall like some of the other species of ficus does. So we're comfortable with that.
It doesn't get white flight.
Correct.
Okay, that was the concern. Thank you. Sorry. Was there any other friendly amendment? So to recap, the friendly amendment is to approve the application with the under condition with the one sign that says specifically 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. I would like to add that that has to be reviewed by staff before it's installed, and then it needs to be mounted on the gate or immediately adjacent in a very clear, obvious manner, that the tree, the ligustrum tree stays, but the other landscaping is approved. With, do you want to make it a condition that they need to add shade trees at the front?
I would like to make it a condition.
Okay,
actually,
I can support that.
Can I just add something? Mm-hmm. If we make a condition, we don't know what is underneath that area. Obviously, those trees were removed because of the gas line, and we don't, you may know if there's electrical wires above that area that restrict, either because of what's underneath the ground or above the ground, any kind of plantings of any significant size. So I think we leave it up to staff to look at this and see and work out with them if something can be planted in that area that can create shade without interrupting existing piping of gas, electrical, what have you. Is that acceptable?
I have a recommended kind of modification. We could say, the board could say, that shade trees shall be introduced along the northern portion of the property to the greatest extent possible,
right,
subject to the review and approval of the city's Public Works Department, right, Green Space Management, and the Planning Department. And then we will, you know, look at any infrastructure that might be impacted.
I'd be amenable to that.
Yeah. All right. I second the motion with the friendly amendments.
Okay, let me call the roll. Mr. Sheldon?
Aye.
Ms. Buttacaboli?
Aye.
Mr. Diffenderfer?
Aye.
Ms. Giller-Nelson?
Aye.
Okay, congratulations.
Thank you again. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
And just as a question, because it seemed like some of the conditions that are on the sign for the Bella Isla are not maybe following the code. What's the repercussion there?
I'm not sure what was approved for that sign, but I think it's something that we can take a look at. And if they've installed a sign that's not approved, code compliance can certainly issue a violation.
Or even with the operation of locking it at certain times when it should be open.
We'll take a look at that because those good points were brought up today about that.
Right. And if there's concerns from residents that do use the space in good faith, that they're now being locked out of a publicly negotiated area.
I think city-wise it's an issue, so I think there needs to be a more holistic address of approach to that.
And I know it happens on the other, on the Bay, or the West Avenue.
Correct.
Bay Walk, too. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. We can move to the next application. Actually, before we start that, let's get Matt Amster out of here, out of the Zoom world, which is a request for continuance. This is DRB 230958, 428 South Hibiscus Drive. This particular application is a single-family home, and they are requesting variances. We do not have five members present today, so we are recommending that this application be continued to the February meeting. We don't really have a choice with this one, but I see Matt Amster is available. Matt, would you like to address the board?
Good morning and Happy New Year, everyone. Simply wanted to ensure we're continued to the February meeting. That's all.
Great. Thank you. So do we have a motion?
Was this not already continued? I move to continue this application to the February meeting.
Okay.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. We'll see you in February, Matt. Okay. So the next application, Giselle?
The next item in the agenda is DRB 23-0931, 24 Palm Ave. An application has been filed requesting design review approval for the construction of a new two-story home, including one or more waivers.
Okay, thank you, Giselle. Again, this is a new two-story single-family home on Palm Island. This particular home did follow the administrative review process. The home received a building permit. Subsequent to obtaining the building permit, the applicant did make some modifications to the home. When the planning department reviewed those modifications, we realized that it would trigger a waiver from this board, and that's why it's here before you today. This particular waiver is specific to the side yard elevation. Any side yard elevation that exceeds 60 feet in length is required to have a very prescribed courtyard type area, so a notch with a certain dimension. In this particular case, it's the west side facade. This house is proposed to have a 109-foot, 8-inch long facade that the city would require to have that courtyard that would be at least in 8 feet in depth from the required side yard. This particular home is set back 3 foot 5 inches from the required side yard setback, so it's setback additional than what is required. It does have a notch with an additional 5 foot 2 inches along the second floor. Staff had, not me specifically, but Michael Belush, I believe, has been meeting with the applicant to try and make some improvements to this west side of the building. That included the introduction of additional fenestration, which was not part of the original proposal. We think that is a significant improvement and really helps to break up that portion of the property. And we are supportive of the waiver. I am available for any questions if you have any.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Rafael Portuondo, Portuondo Pero de Architects.
We are the architects for Joel Meyerson. And we've actually been working with Tom Mooney and Michael Belush to make sure that we address all the issues that there are to address. One of the things that Tom has been actually very gracious in working with us in the sense of being able to pull the permit while we go to the DRB. So I'll just go through quickly. This is the what was the existing house, and this is the proposed. So one of the issues that we were dealing with was, let me see, is there a pointer here? Courtyard there on the second floor, and you'll see the aerial renderings of that. And that was the connector that would connect the master bedroom side of the house to the secondary bedroom side of the house, which was a sort of air-conditioned connector. One of the things that we looked at with staff was that at the time we felt that we were, you know, it was working with the code. After meeting with Tom Mooney, the only comment left in the permitting process was that comment. And he felt that this was a comment that could be addressed to the DRB. That's why we're here today. The area of the connector there. Are you trying to zoom in or something? No, just pointing out to the issue at hand.
You can actually take that microphone and go in front and show us exactly what you want us to focus on. Because okay. I can only see for myself, but I'm very confused as to the okay. area that you're asking us to consider.
So the area that we're looking at, which is actually stepped back, is this. During the original permitting process, this was an air-conditioned gallery that connect actually the master bedroom side of the house to the secondary bedroom side of the house. In talking to Tom, what he said was, without the doors, we're to code. And with the doors, it would have to step back further. So he was comfortable with us moving forward with the permitting process, subject to coming back to the DRB.
Could you point to where the doors were?
There's better pictures. So here we go. Not the easiest mouse to deal with. Okay, so these are the doors here. So if you look at the two elevations.
Can you point that out again? Yeah.
Okay. So the center section were the doors that we removed. The reason we're here is because we want to add those doors back in so that we can connect the master's suite of the house to the secondary bedroom suite of the house. In working with Michael, we also added the two horizontal windows to each side of the center bay. So that was part of the discussion with Michael in regards to...
Wait, so that section that says 28-4, those are doors or those are fixed windows?
Fixed windows.
And so where do you want to add the doors?
There's fixed windows on the outside face and sliding doors on the inside face. The inside face is a second floor courtyard. And there's renderings that are going to show that a little bit easier. Okay. So if you look at the lower elevation, that's the elevation that we're dealing with. So in working with Michael Balush, we added the two horizontal windows to each
Thank
side.
You.
We have the fixed windows in the front. On the other side of the house, the other side yard, which is these here, which is on the other side, there's another series of windows that we added in. On the lower section of the house, we added a exposed concrete to differentiate the two elements that stick out on each side. And all this was part of working with Michael to make sure that we address the aesthetics of the house. So the upper left is looking at the house as you're entering from the street. It's a more contemporary home. The element in the front is actually a guest room. The upper right is actually the far set of doors on the upper right. That's a second floor courtyard. So you have on the right-hand side where the louvers are, the kids' bedrooms. On the left-hand side where the louvers are is the master bedroom. From the railing to the sliding doors, there's probably 20-something feet. The lower middle section is kitchen breakfast. And underneath the covered terrace is actually an outdoor barbecue open space that you can see on the lower right-hand side to the right of the house. You can see that. The sliding doors to the left on the lower level are the family room. And then the second floor all the way across is master bedroom, master bath. So one of the things that you'll see here is on the right-hand side, you'll see that there's an interior court. There's a connector right here that connects the left-hand side of the house to the right-hand side of the house. And over here, you'll see that it connects the right-hand side of the house to the left-hand side of the house. And this is the fixed window, the fixed doors that we're adding. It's a very thin connection. It isn't like a massive connection. At the end of the day, our goal obviously would be to be able to connect it, which is the process that we were told to go through in order to make the house work better for the client.
So
can you go back to that previous drawing, that one? I'm sorry.
I think we have the same question.
That connector is what this whole request is for.
Yes.
It's been approved, but it's been approved originally with doors. Then you changed it to fixed windows or fixed glass. And now you wanted to go back to doors.
Let me clarify that.
And let me just add one more question. And are those doors that you want to change it to, are they facing the side of the house or are they facing the courtyard?
They're facing the side of the house and the courtyard. So what happens is when we were in the permitting process, we had the doors put in. One of the issues with the doors, without the doors, the additional space, including the courtyard, became one, which was that additional feet. We're at 5 feet, and it should have been maybe 8 feet. When you add the doors in, it goes back to the 5 feet. Working with Tom, Tom said, look, let's pull the permit. Let's go to the DRB. The original, just to be clear, the original permit had the doors, the fixed windows on the side yard and the operable sliding doors in the courtyard. So we under construction, we're topped out, the whole thing. In working with Michael Belush, we've gone through an extensive sort of design review, design intent, in order to make the house better, which we were willing to work with. So the reason we're here is because we're adding the doors. We're adding the fixed panels on the side yard so no one opens the doors and falls out. And we're adding the operable doors on the inside so there's you access to the second floor courtyard.
Let me add to sort of follow up, and also for Debbie, because it seems like the condition that you're trying to meet is this continuous line that if I'm not correct, there has to be a notch every 60 feet. So it's really not the second floor that's the issue. It's the first floor, because it seems like the second floor is recessed, but the section under it, at least looking at this, the aerial perspective west facade, it seems like that's the issue. Or am I not understanding what's going on correctly?
If it's a one story with an open space above, you're okay with that. Okay. Once it's two stories, it has to be contiguous up. Without the doors, it would be like a breezeway, which would be open.
So then this, and I guess maybe this is more for Debbie, as it's designed here, this does not meet the requirements?
It does not. It does have a notch. You're correct with that. But the notch is just over, I think, 5 feet, where it would need to be 8 feet.
And what you're saying is that's not wide enough for access between the two wings of the house.
Correct.
Because of how you've laid out the rooms internally.
Correct.
So if you wanted to, you could push it back a few more feet, but you've laid out the rooms in a way that's not going to work.
Correct.
And you've already started building.
We're already topped out.
Right, which is usually why people come to the DRB first.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Okay. I just want to, because the presentation was a little confusing, and I think we were, but now I understand now. Do you understand? No.
No.
It's still a little. I think that's also why, because usually it doesn't. It's a little bit out of order, and it's.
I'll tell you something that's positive about this whole process. The permitting process took forever. And I came to talk to Tom, and I said, look, how long is this going to take? We've got comments after comments after comments after comments. We went back multiple times for each of the divisions. He said at that point, understanding the process, he said, this is what we're going to do. You're okay with everything except for this. I'm going to approve it so you can start construction, but you need to go to the DRB for the waiver. And I agreed to that. And so I think it was a conscious effort to do something positive to help our client out and us out, and that's why we're here today. And so it was something that was discussed ahead of time.
And how long have you been in construction?
7 months, 8 months.
So can Debbie, can you explain to me exactly what the issue is?
So I was not involved in a lot of those discussions. However, what the issue is here is really that notch.
So on the first or second floor?
On both. They do have a notch on the ground floor as well, but again, that's about 5 feet.
Yes.
So they are, the land development regulations without the waiver require them to increase
eight
that
feet.
Depth.
To 8 feet.
Correct.
On the first floor or on the second floor?
On both.
On both.
It would be the first floor, but it would need to be open to the sky.
Right.
And I do want to point out that, you know, although this is you know, somewhat uncomfortable, right, because when construction has already happened, we, you know, it's a difficult situation. But this did give us the opportunity to work with the architect to actually make that elevation much better than it had been approved on the permit in terms of adding additional fenestration and a material change. We do think that the architect agreed to do that, and it results in a much better elevation.
But wouldn't he have had to do that anyway through the process, the standard procedure?
Maybe not to the extent that he that he did after our discussions, after discussing with planning staff.
I should say, I feel like maybe we've gotten a little bit ahead of ourselves. Are you ready for us to start our discussion more, or do you have more to add for your presentation?
The only thing that I would say, if we go back to the... One of the things that Michael told me to bring up is... Let me see if I have a picture of it. The house to our left, to our right of our entrance, is basically a house that was, it's basically one long wall. So contextually, we have two homes that have the same condition. And so it's, you know, in terms of neighborhood, in terms of assessment, we have the same issues on both sides. So it's not like we're creating a problem for them and they're creating a problem for us. It's basically the same condition on both sides. His courtyard is on the opposite side of his house, and our courtyard is on the opposite side of our house. So in that case, it was, you know, it was a situation where contextually it's good. It's a good situation. One of the reasons why we're also here is that sometimes before we start any project, we meet with staff. And we go through each of the items, and we proceed with those kinds of things. And sometimes when you meet with staff, you don't get sometimes the clear answer. Sometimes that answer gets overruled by other people. And in this particular case, we worked with staff. We did what they wanted. We went into permitting. It was flagged in zoning. We explained the situation. Listen, we went through everything. And they said, well, we're sorry. That's not the way it works. You know, it was the wrong advice. And so it's been from that point forward, once we talked to Tom, there was a path, you know, to move forward. And I would say between Tom and Michael, they have pushed hard to make the design better, which we were okay with. The client was okay with that. And we thought that we'd been working as a team in a very positive way. And so I commend the City of Miami Beach, and I think we can commend ourselves for working together the best way possible under the circumstances. So that's why we're here.
Thank you very much. And it's good to hear that it was a positive experience. Are any members of the public wishing to speak? Anyone here online?
I don't see any, Madam Chair.
Okay. I'm now closing the public portion and opening up to the board for comment or further questions. Did you have additional?
I don't want to speak because I think I'm going to confuse the issue further, but what we're here for today is the connector between the master bedroom and the other bedrooms across. And that has to have both the first floor of that connector and the second floor, an 8-foot setback from the side. And the first floor, and that's where I stop. It currently only has a 5-foot setback on the first floor and on the second floor. And they also want to change, instead of having fixed glass facing the side, they want to have doors as well as on the side of the courtyard?
No, it's fixed on the side yard, but operable on the courtyard.
Okay. Open on the courtyard.
Which isn't going to affect the neighbor because it's inside anyway.
Right. So now that they've put in, now that they want to put in the doors, the 5-foot setback, the 8-foot setback, they can't adhere to because it doesn't have enough, doesn't leave them with enough space to walk from the master to the front area of the house.
And this didn't come up during an earlier stage of the design process.
Correct.
So what does it leave that corridor with at once you put in the doors facing the courtyard?
It's 5 feet.
5 feet. And they want it to be 8 feet, or the code requires it to be 8 feet.
Let me clarify a little bit more. Without the doors, it's contiguous space. In other words, without the doors, it would be 35 feet because it's open, right? So in other words, there is no minimum dimension. Like, so for example, if you're on the second floor and you have to go back 8 feet, we would be more than that because we would be going back all the way to the next guardrail, which is on the other side because it's open. Once you add the doors, we're at 5 feet. In other words, because the facade ends up being a static, you know, specific dimension.
And will there be access from those doors on the second floor corridor to the courtyard? Is there a staircase?
There's two staircases on each side that open up to that gallery that connects both sides. There's a stair on the master bedroom side and a stair on the secondary children's bedroom side.
But how do you get from those doors facing the courtyard to the courtyard without going into the master bedroom or into the children's rooms?
Can we put back the drawings?
Or maybe asking this way, if you don't have doors and you just have fixed glass there or windows, can you still access the courtyard from the master and from the other bedrooms on the opposite end?
I think the problem, and correct me if I'm wrong, that they're having is that everything is already built. So because, I mean, we could just ask them to move it, but you can't move it.
Correct.
Because it's already built.
That's
so
correct.
Our hands are sort of tied. It's a very awkward situation because
And the doors are in is what you're saying.
Well, it's a brand new home, so they could have done anything. You know, they could have adhered to the code. And then from what I'm saying from Raphael is he didn't realize that the code was what it was and went ahead and designed it and built it. And after the fact, I guess when it was being reviewed by Michael, that discovered, oh, this was supposed to be set back 3 more feet than it is, but you'd already started construction and all of that. So the opportunity to really make changes was in the past. And here we are. And this is the assessment of the situation. So really this is just...
But if the doors, you know, facing the courtyard were not in, if you just have fixed glass or windows, would you still be here today asking approval?
So let me just go through it this way. You see there's a series of fixed glass here. And then there's a set of sliding doors on the inside. This is the master bedroom gallery. This is the children's bedroom gallery. Both galleries open up to this second floor courtyard, right? Without the doors, the reason we were able to get a permit is because without the doors, we're good to go. We're to code. In other words, we were okay.
That's what I understand. But how do you get from those doors down to the courtyard?
You can walk out. If these doors are open, you can walk out to the courtyard.
From the second floor?
There's a little balcony. You
know, it's a second floor courtyard.
It's a second floor courtyard.
It's almost like a balcony. Oh. You know, if you go to page 30, those axiomatic, I think those show the area on the other side of those doors, the top left one.
I think he answered. It's a second floor courtyard. It's not a courtyard on the ground floor.
Yeah, it's sort of a balcony. And you can see it. Oh, wait, page 30? don't know if you can zoom in, but if you want to look at it, Myra, on your, it's small, but. Yeah, right over there. Can you see that little, am I incorrect in saying that, that gray area right there? That's, and that's, so the doors are not on the wall with the spiral staircase, they're on the adjacent wall.
Correct.
Right.
So these are the doors here that we're looking at, and these are the existing doors off on each side.
And so you could have moved that corridor. You know, there's space. It could have been in further away from, but it's just not.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
And look, one of the things that we all went through is, let's say, without the sliding doors, it would have met code.
So can you explain that? Why is that?
I can explain that, I think, maybe.
Because I think that's
also perfect. Without basically the enclosure of it, it wouldn't have been a two-story continuous elevation, right? It would have been two stories, one story with an open
breezeway,
and then another two-story. So we wouldn't have had that 60-foot.
Even with a roof, though? Even with a cover?
Correct. Because it would have been a breezeway. It would have been an open corridor. By enclosing it, all of a sudden, that 2-1-2 becomes continuous 2, which then requires the notch.
It makes sense
and
to
the plan, it. Right. The plan, although they have a notch, it doesn't meet the minimum requirements of the code for the notch.
Right. Yeah.
Actually, you said it really well.
I think, listen, I think this is frustrating to be in a situation like this. And I said, for me, I think you guys are super lucky that you didn't max out the unit size, because I would have been like, that would have been sneaking by. You seem to be much under, and even with this enclosure, they'll still be under the unit size. I think we've been in the situation before. I think this code, this 8 feet, is a relative arbitrary number that they just made up. No, seriously. And the intent of it is to break up a long facade, which we've given variances many times for other solutions to that strict code. So in this case, like I said, I'm inclined to go with this. I hate the process. I think it's a terrible precedent. But because they're not maxed out and it still leaves a lot of space, I would give them the benefit of the doubt on this one, because it's not like somebody screwed up, but I don't think it was intentional. And I think a breezeway is stupid. So, yeah, you have to enclose it. So that's my comments.
And you said construction began 7 months ago and you're topped out at this point.
Right.
Do you want to make the motion?
Oh, I have, not to get too far away, I do have just one comment/question, and I don't know if it's come up before, but it's just more of a minor but significant livability concern. One of the things that stood out to me in the design was this guest room at the front of the house, which seems like it's fairly close to the street, and it seems very, very open. Is that... I was just curious as to why it's so open and exposed to the street for anybody walking by to just sort of look in.
One of the things that the owner was requesting was to have something more glass and more open. And there are louvers in front, so it's gonna block a lot of the stuff on the inside. He doesn't really know 100% if it's gonna be a guest room. It might be a gym, might be a game room. So the gardens are also have a tall hedge around that to make it more private.
Yeah, I'm with Scott. I really am uncomfortable with the precedent that this sets. You know, I mean, I'm sympathetic, but I don't know. I just like to say I'm very uncomfortable with the precedent that this sets. But if anybody wants to make a motion, now would be the time.
I make a motion that we approve the, I don't even know what to call this.
It's a waiver.
This application waiver with the conditions set forth in the order.
Second.
Okay, let me call the roll. Mr. Diffendorfer?
Aye.
Mr. Sheldon?
Aye.
Ms. Buttigieg-Cavoli?
Aye.
Ms. Giller-Nelson?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Would anybody like to take a few-minute recess?
Yes.
Okay. Please. Well, I'm going to call a 10-minute recess. Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the January 2nd meeting of the Design Review Board. We are now going to continue with DRB number 23-0913.
The next item on the agenda is DRB 23-0913, 415 West 41st Street. An application has been filed requesting design review approval for the construction of a new two-story building to replace an existing two-story building.
Thank you, Giselle. Yes, this is a new two-story commercial building on 41st Street. It's on a small interior lot located on the north side of the street. You know, due to the narrowness and the commercial nature of this, only the front and rear facades are visible, right? The properties are immediately abutting each other. So the plan is a long and narrow building that does incorporate light wells to add light to the space, which is always a challenge with these long, narrow lots for commercial use. So we are supportive of the general design of it. It incorporates an internal garden on the ground floor that is open to the sky. We think that is a very welcome addition. While we're supportive of it, we do have a couple conditions that we are recommending. One would be that an enclosed trash room be introduced into the rear of the building so that you don't have an open dumpster situation, which can cause neighborhood nuisances. And then we are also recommending that some form of security system in the front porch that is not obtrusive in terms of its design be introduced, such as like a folding glass panel or something for security. We do believe that these two minor recommendations can be addressed administratively, and we are recommending approval. I am available for any questions if you should have them.
Thank you.
Good morning. Norman Blandon, N25 Architecture. What a great way to start the year, huh? Right here. Okay, we started this project as an interior renovation of this building on 415 Arthur Godfrey. As we got permitted and we started demolition and the process started and we started deconstruction, we started to find that the building was in disrepair and repairing it would be out of the realm of reality. And back, this started in 2022. And during this process, there was a big rainstorm and part of the roof collapsed. So that set us back a few months in the whole process. So that's when we decided with the clients to this is unsalvageable. Let's start a new building, a new design for this building. And like Ms. Tackett said, this is a very restricted site. It's 24 feet wide or so between two buildings with only the front facade and the rear facade visible to the city. As you can see on the lower left-hand corner, that's the existing building. It's a very brutal facade.
I think you need to... seeing.
Oh, sorry. I thought I had it here. Okay. Yes, lower left, it's a photograph of the existing condition. It had been a real estate office, a business office for a long time. Obviously, for a few years, it's been vacant since this whole problem started. This is a timeline of the process of, there's a photograph of the roof collapse during that rainstorm, and that, as you can see there, that's the previous existing plan where we were trying to renovate, but just didn't recommend. We just have it there for reference, what it used to be. These are some of the pictures of the conditions as they are right now. So it's basically we have to start from scratch. This is our proposed site plan, let's say. As far as square footage, we're basically going to be under the existing square footage, so we're not going to go over the existing square footage. We're going to go below the existing square footage. As Ms. Tackett mentioned, the facade facing 41st Street, we are trying to create some transition and some layering from the public facade, from the public space, the sidewalk, a transition space, and creating a light well as well, as you can see that notch there, and as we transfer into the private space. And then that other opening you see is the light well that we will be showing you here soon. These are the proposed plans, as you can see on the right-hand side. That is the entry courtyard. As we go from the sidewalk in, we've created a ramp because an important factor here is that we're at 3.73 sidewalk elevation. And the way we're dealing with the design floor elevation, which would be 9 feet, that would create a 60-foot-long ramp. So that basically makes that unfeasible. So we discussed the project with Flood Department, and we were recommended that we can go, 12 inches above the sidewalk, and we are well above that. We're at 3.73 the existing sidewalk, and we're going up to 5.39. So that's what that's what we're doing, that ramp in the front. This is a ramp. Yes, so as you can see going in, there's a gap of at an entrance between the sidewalk into that ramp, and that ramp U-turn creates a little garden, a possibility to create a garden there to soften up that ramp. Obviously, it's very basic concrete, and we are softening it up with that little garden, a waiting area, maybe a place for people to just sit down and wait for the food to be delivered and whatever other causes. And then we go into the building. Right now, it's basically an open space. The building has not been defined or has not been rented out yet by the clients. And on the ground level, you see the planting and the interior courtyard, the interior garden, and the service area beyond that, to create two restrooms, the kitchenette, and all the mechanical equipment, and the stair back there. And since Friday, we received the staff report, we already found a solution for the trash room, and we are going to be able to basically build it under the stair facing the back alley, because that's an alley in the back. So that we have already solved that problem. Thank you. And on the second floor, it's basically an open plan, and that opening you saw on the site plan, it's a courtyard on the upper right, the courtyard. Yeah, that's basically becomes a light well for that conference room on the second level. It could become a conference room. And you, above that, you see the contextual drawing of the whole block from Royal Palm to, I forgot the other street. Mm-hmm. So as you can see, from Sheridan to Royal Palm, that's contextual elevation of all the buildings there and the dates they were built. This one was built originally in 1935 with some the renovations, and let's go next. This would be a building section of cutting through from the sidewalk to the alley. This is another point I wanted to make. As you can see, the bottom slab is very thick. We've already addressed the concern about the design floor elevation. This would be the slab to resist hydrostatic pressure, obviously from flooding. So that. Right now, it's looking to be like a 30-inch slab. So that's how we're addressing the flood elevation issue. One of the issues, one of the points we're making there. As you can see there, you have the light wells, and we've created layers from private to semi-private and then back out to public. This is a contextual photograph of the whole block, our building in the square, obviously. These are some renderings of our proposed elevation. We have the opening right from the sidewalk into the main doors to the building. To the right is the ramp. And what you see there is some semi-transparent screening to allow the light in, but also to soften up the direct lighting sunlight from the south, because this is a south facade. These are some of the materials we are proposing to use, just white smooth stucco, a perforated metal panel, and impact resistant storefront. Yes, and we had addressed some of the security concerns you had raised, Ms. Tackett. I don't know if you saw this or not, but in the middle picture, we have a gate that rolls into the opening. So when security is needed, that gate can be rolled out. And on the right-hand side, we have the flood panels required since we're not going up to design flood elevation. This is a night rendering and then rendering of the ramp area with a little garden surrounded by the ramp. Some interior elevation renderings of the elevator foyers and the interior court, interior garden. And these are some of the architectural drawings that were presented with the same information. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That concludes your presentation.
Yes. Thank you.
Are there any members of the public wishing to speak? Not in chambers, online? No. Okay. I'm now going to close the public portion and open it up to the board for discussion. Anyone want to begin? Megan? Ira? I can begin. I think that this is, I find this project interesting because it does get us, thinking about the sea level rise and elevation and how we're going to resolve this on commercial streets where you have existing buildings are going to be replaced one by one as opposed to, all at once. So thank you for that. I have a question with the materials for the metal panel. If you go to page 11 of the presentation. So what you're showing on the left and what you're showing on the right are different. So which one is it going to be?
Yeah, for the rendering, we did the one on the left. But when we actually talked to manufacturers and people who had the material, basically the one on the right will be the more like the real material. We have spoken to Hendrick Metals, and they have provided us with that sample, which is available for manufacturing.
And it's going to just be that metal, sort of stainless steel.
Yes, yes.
Metallic. And that's also going to be on the pull-down security gate?
Yeah, it's rolling gate, yes. It'll match that.
Okay. Well, I like the design. I like the light wells. I also can see how, because you don't have a tenant yet, that this has to be a little bit general. Is the owner looking at more an office as opposed to
It has to stay with the same use as before. It's a business use.
Okay, as an office space. My only concern is that with the design is I would love it. I don't want it to match the adjacent buildings, but I would love it to have a little bit more of a dialogue with them. I think it's hard. I think what makes the cityscape unique is when you don't have one building when it's all the same. I think that's very boring. And I think, 41st Street, it is nice that it's a little bit different. But a lot of the buildings I've noticed in that wonderful, horizontal comparison composite that you did, there's a lot more horizontal elements in a lot of those the storefronts. And yours is very vertical. And I can't help but wonder if maybe that would be the way to make some sort of dialogue, at least with the two adjacent building. I do appreciate in your presentation that you did show clearly this is where we're getting some inspiration from the other item element, the other storefronts on the street. I think it would just feel a little bit more harmonious to me if there were some maybe more horizontal elements, because you do have this very large expanse of flat concrete that is very, in comparison to a lot of others. I don't know if that's where a sign would be, though I guess that's, you're going to have offices there. There wouldn't be a great big sign. It just seems like a long expanse of plain flat gray stucco or concrete or whatever that was going to be. And whereas most of the other buildings have some sort of interest on them. Even the one in the bank, which you pointed out, the Citibank, that wall is this marble. It's not just one solid color. And I realized that's what it was before, this big expanse of solid beige, and that really wasn't doing much for the streetscape to begin with. So that was my only comment as something to explore, to make it, give it a little bit more ornamentation or visual interest in some way. I don't know if anybody else has any other thoughts or comments.
I just have a couple of questions on the existing order from the planning department. It calls for the applicant to show the exact location of the backflow preventers and other devices. You talked about the trash room, but how about the backflow preventers? Are they all of this going to be in the back?
Yes, they are right now in the back elevation facing the alley, and we're going to have to work with that to be able to fit the trash room in there. But they're in the back. Everything's in the back.
And exterior transformers are also out there?
All the services in there.
Within the property itself?
Yes, there's a 5-foot setback back there that all that stuff is in, will be in there.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody would like to.
Do we have enough for? Yes. Okay, I see him. I'll make a motion to approve the application for the project at 415 West 41st Street with design review order specifications.
Yeah. I'd like to add a friendly amendment to work with staff to add a little bit more visual interest to that front facade.
Noted, and we have been working with staff for quite some time.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay, let me call the roll. Mr. Durfendorfer?
Yes.
Ms. Buttercavoli?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Ms. Geller-Nelson?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right, thank you.
The next item in the agenda is DRB 23-0972, 1 Collins Ave. An application has been filed requesting design review approval for modifications to the ground level of an existing building, including the construction of a single-story addition and the construction of an exterior ground-level retractable canopy associated with a new restaurant.
Thank you, Giselle. This particular property is located at Collins Avenue and South Point Drive. This particular application is specific to two ground floor commercial units. These units are proposed to be a restaurant space. And as part of that, the applicant is proposing some facade improvements, including creating a design element for the main entrance, as well as their outdoor seating area is proposed to be covered with a trellis-type retractable fabric system. Staff does not have any objections to this proposed project. We would also note that the Planning Board has reviewed an application for a conditional use permit. That conditional use permit was issued in June of last year, and we look forward to this particular space becoming active commercial use, which we do believe will enhance the pedestrian experience and create activity within this very prominent corner of South of Fifth neighborhood. So we are recommending approval, and I'm available for any questions.
Thank you.
Good morning. Nicholas Rodriguez on behalf of the applicant, Philip Miami LLC. I'm joined by Chris Zaney, our architect from Kobe Karp's office. Abraham Merchant, the owner of the restaurant, is also joining us via Zoom. He's back in New York. So Philip Chow is, we have our digital presentation if we could pull that up.
Perfect.
So Philip Chow is a New York-based Chinese restaurant providing hot Beijing style cuisine at like an elevated high-end atmosphere. They want to bring their location back to Miami Beach. They used to have a location on Ocean Drive. It closed and now they're interested in coming back. And they are activating the One Collins app commercial units that have been vacant since the building was constructed in 2016. So it's been a big effort, as Debbie mentioned, to get the CUP, get everybody on board in the condominium as to the operational conditions, the hours of operation, the music, all of those operational details that have all been worked out with an agreement with the association and the CUP. And what we're here for today is really just a modification to the storefront to create a signature entrance, add an exterior seating area, and really activate this really prominent corner of South Beach that unfortunately has been vacant with an empty storefront for almost a decade. So with that, I'll turn it over to Chris Zaney to just show you the renderings. I'll walk you through the design really quickly, but it's a pretty simple application. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Chris Zaney. I work with Cubby Corp. Let's see. So the site plan, what we're activating with the proposed canopy and the seating is along the intersection. The canopy doesn't really have a very large footprint due to the close setbacks, but in that lower left-hand corner of the intersection is where the main focus of the presentation is. I want to get towards the renderings because they'll kind of show it better. A curved building doesn't read really well in elevation, but this will show that we're trying to activate the main entry door with a solid door flanked by metal panels and then the canopy. The canopy itself, we worked with staff to make sure that the structural columns of the canopy would align with the existing vertical members of the storefront. Same thing with the horizontal elements of the canopy. It's hard to tell in the section, but we'll see in the rendering that the horizontal part of the canopy is also to align with the existing horizontal element of the mullions, so that it's not a foreign object to the building. So if we can get to the rendering, you can see here that there's two main things that point out is the entry feature, the door. It's going to be a solid door with a faux wood finish and the flanking metal panel, so that it kind of pinpoints the entry point to this space, since it's a very uniform, rounded facade. We felt that this was a great way of, you know, calling out the entry. And then the canopy being here with, you know, and also the furniture and the other fabric elements to the furniture canopies, they're all similar materials and same materials. This is the view looking northwest. You can see that the alignment with the canopy to the existing storefront, the canopy is retractable, fully retractable fabric. The canopy material is aluminum, but it's going to have a faux wood finish, so it's going to look it's going to look wood-like. And the canopy fabric is going to, there's the material board here with the dark faux wood look to the aluminum, and then the kind of taupe fabric canopy material. And there's also going to be some potted plants around the periphery with native species. These potted plants were part of the CUP condition and agreements with the condo for some visual blocking. The plant species have to be native, and we're going to work with staff to make sure that the plantings and the planters are, you know, placed and provided appropriately.
Is there any other? I think that concludes our presentation. We're available for questions and board comment. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody available online that wishes to speak? Nope. Okay, I'm going to close the public portion and open it up for discussion among the board. Does anybody have a question or like to comment?
Can you go back to the rendering that shows the canopy that you're proposing and show how far out it would extend into the right-of-way?
Let's go back to that. Yeah, while we're going to the slide, it doesn't extend into the right-of-way at all. That was one of this plan, right?
Is that why you added tables under umbrellas?
Right.
Because you couldn't get it?
The setback line is where the structure of the canopy has to stop. And we were allowed to encroach past the setback with the overhang of the canopy. But since that's really the only part of the site where we have depth, that's where the canopy sits and stops. The rest of the site has furniture modules with the fabric, you know, umbrellas was the word I was looking for before. So the canopy sits within our setbacks and it complies with all of the setbacks. So that's kind of why it's positioned here. We actually wanted it to be further along and more extensive, but it just is, it's squeezed by the setback.
You can see it better on the site plan. So on the site plan.
I'm looking at page 9. It's one of the renderings, and it's on the side. It shows, maybe go back one. I don't know, I zoomed in, and you can get a really good sense of how the canopy extends a little bit beyond the white edge.
Yeah.
It's almost like go back.
This one?
That one, and I just sort of zoomed in on the upper right. Or maybe the next one.
So the umbrellas are in the right-of-way or still within your property?
So a condition of the CUP is that everything has to be within the common element of the private property. So just to address that concern, we can see it on the site plan.
Okay.
So on the site plan, here, let me use the portable microphone. You can see that the private property line is here. It comes all the way to the edge. The Ocean Drive sidewalk is much wider, so there's an additional like 9 feet of sidewalk. But everything, the tables and umbrellas, are all within the private property that's associated with this. The sidewalk gets a little narrow on the South Point Drive side, but there's a condition in our CUP order that requires at least a 5-foot corridor going through in the public right-of-way. So we won't be blocking or impeding the right-of-way at all.
Thank you.
Scott, do you have any thoughts? I think this is an exciting project, and it is really nice to see, after so long, a space like this being so prominent, being activated. So bravo on that. I did have some questions, though, about the materials, which I think really that's, I'm really glad that you work with staff and that the canopy that you designed does have a relationship with the mullions in the building. I think that was, a very... definitely a good call. But I'm not quite sure. You mentioned that the canopy color and the umbrella colors are going to be taupe, but it's showing in the renderings that they're going to be more of a yellowish. And then it seems like, what is the material next to the door, the wood door?
Right. So we're still procuring and detailing that entry feature. We're obligated to get approval by staff on the material and the colors. That's the one thing that hasn't been 100% finalized. It is metal, and they are thin metal panels. They're not attached to the storefront. We can't touch the storefront. I'm not the best person to describe color. The fabric of the canopy and the umbrellas are going to be the same, and they're going to be, everything that we do before we procure is going to be shown and approved by staff.
Right. I sort of, my impression of this facade, I completely understand, and I think it's a good idea to have the door, the front door, be very prominent and a focal point. You want people to come in and out and everything. For me, this design, these materials, whatever they are, at least how you're showing in the rendering, there's no relation at all between the existing buildings and this door. It could have been anywhere. It just sort of looks like it flew there and stuck. And I know that you showed us some interior shots, so I'm thinking that perhaps the palette and the materials was relating more to the interior decor. But at the same time, this just looks like it flew there and stuck, and it is concerning to me that you're not even sure of exactly what that material would be. And what concerns me even more is that we have approved projects by your firm, and they're not always exactly what we see is not always what we get. And so I can't approve this project without an exact material being known.
Okay.
So that, and again, I feel like that giant wood door on a very see-through, transparent, light, bluish toned building, It doesn't seem to work for me. Again, I want this project to be approved. I think it's going to be a great activation of the space. It looks like it's going to be lovely, but I just don't know. I don't think that's the right gesture. That's my thought. I don't know if anybody else feels the same.
So I think part of it is bringing their theme from, if you look at, I don't have the renderings of their other locations, it's bringing their theme from other locations. There are a Chinese restaurant, so they're bringing kind of an oriental theme. I think that's what they were going for. I know we don't have the exact specification of the materiality yet. I think it's being produced, but certainly would be open to working with staff, you know, even a more robust condition than what they've proposed, producing, you know, samples. Certainly they're in permitting, and this was in July that they got their CUP approval, and it would hurt them a lot to not be able to move forward today. Sure.
And I also, even with the planters, and now the planters are gray, I for me, the materials just don't make sense. And again, because there's been some questions in the past, this is where my vote. I'm just letting you know that I cannot support this. I wish you'd given us more detail, and then I would have been in support. But you didn't. So, and also, I mean, typically we do approve exact, and there have been many times that we've had conditions of what you show us is what you have to give us. So the fact that you're not providing us with this, that you're saying we're going to work it out with staff down the line, you know, you sort of put us in a position where it's. Again, I'm loath to move forward without all the details worked out, because there's not that much to this project except for the details. So,
based on your comments, do we not need a 4 vote on? Okay, and so we currently do not have a 4 vote, and I don't even know how the rest of the members here today feel. So instead of turning it down, should we defer it to the February meeting so that you have an opportunity to bring back the materials that you are proposing?
Yeah, certainly. If we can't get the 4 votes today, so we'll take a continuance to February, and we'll make sure to bring material samples in February.
Okay.
And I appreciate that. You know, and if you would consider some way of integrating of, there has to be a design solution that nods both to the interior and to the brand, as well as to the context with which this is happening, and just to sort of think about that when you return to present us. Because again, no one wants this to succeed more than I do, but you know, that's just what it is. Okay. Thank you. So can somebody make a motion?
I make a motion that we defer the project to the February agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. See you in February. Thank you.
See you in February.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And Madam Chair, that concludes our regular agenda. Unless the board members have other discussions that they want to have, we can adjourn the meeting. Okay.
Is there a motion to adjourn? Do we need to make a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay. I think we're all in favor of that.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Happy New Year.